Good morning.
Hey, hey.
All right. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17 is a story where Jesus encounters 10 lepers. Now, I read this story because we are in a season of Thanksgiving. Amen? Some of us, it's evident that we celebrated Thanksgiving a few days ago. I'm not going to say why, it's evident. But normally, at this time of year, we all eat too much. We get to enjoy family and getting together. But in this story, when Jesus encounters 10 lepers, they all experience the power and the presence of God in their lives. If you're here and you've ever met Jesus, you've experienced the power of His presence in your life. It's life changing. These people's lives would forever change because they met the Savior, Jesus. But there's something shocking to this story. And here's what I want you to understand and focus on why God brought me to this passage. Because there was 10 lepers. And all experienced the cleansing power of the Savior. But only one returned to give Him thanks. It says 10 were healed, but only one came back to give Him thanks. And so I thought about that as we are celebrating this week of Thanksgiving. You know, when I was a kid, I remember Thanksgiving being a little bit different than how it is nowadays. The older that I get, it seems Thanksgiving goes by quicker and quicker. You know, the decorations for Christmas come out earlier and earlier every year in the stores. You know, it seems like we go straight from Halloween to Christmas. People are putting up their Christmas lights before Thanksgiving, right? When I was a kid, you know, Thanksgiving lasted all day long. I mean, sometimes multiple days. Originally, when the Pilgrims in 1621 had the first Thanksgiving with the Native Americans, it was a celebration of 3 days. Now we can barely get people to stay 3 hours, right? You know, used to, all of the family would show up. Now it seems like majority family have their own lives and are too busy to show up. You know, me and my wife talked about it, and you know, I said, I remember Thanksgiving being a time of celebration and joy, and we would all get together, and the kids would play football out in the yard all day long. You know, my Uncle Bob even would raise a pig, and we would go over days before, and we'd process it, and go through that whole deal of having a Thanksgiving ham. We didn't like turkey that much. So we would have the ham. But it went on for days. It was a celebration because we all had so much to be thankful for each other, thankful for God's provisions in our lives. But it seems like nowadays we just want to hurry up and skip over that Thanksgiving. You know, but as a Christian, the Bible says that Christians should be abounding with thanksgiving. That it shouldn't just be a celebration of one day or a few hours, but it should be a lifestyle. That we should live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be like the nine, be the one. Because 90% of the people, I think, missed a point. 90% of the people here, 9 out of 10 failed to give God thanks for what He had already done in their lives. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then we should go back. We have so many things to be thankful for on a daily basis. And we should live or strive to live a life of thanksgiving. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to read through this story, and I don't know where I'm going with this. I just want to pull out some lessons that we can learn from the characters in this story and in this historical event that took place years ago, in hopes to challenge you, but also to encourage you, to strengthen you, to open your eyes, to give thanks for the blessings that God has given you in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Colossians chapter 2, I went ahead of myself, but I'll read it. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, if you want to jot that down. Study that verse this week. It says, As you, therefore, Christians, having received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. You know, as Christians, we're not supposed to be tearing each other down. We're supposed to be rooted in Christ and being building each other up. Amen? Amen. It says, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We should be abounding with thanksgiving. Now, when you come here this morning, when you came here this morning, are you abounding with thanksgiving? Are you so grateful and thankful and you're just ready to worship the Lord and give him praise for what he's already done in your life? Because that's why we should come to church, to give him back the praise of what he's already done for us this week. You know, many times Randall, he'll ask you, he'll challenge you. He's real good about challenging you. And he always asks, he's like, so tell me what something good God has done in your life. And a lot of times we just kind of freeze because we could think of 1,000 things that went wrong that week because that's what we focus on. That's our flesh, right? If he had said, hey, tell me something that went wrong, boom, you could spit it out like that. But when he says, tell me something good God has done in your life, we all have had God do something great for us that week, but it's not what we focus on. So it's hard for us to remember because we're focusing on the negative. That's what we tend to do. But we should be abounding with thanksgiving on an everyday basis. I'm going to read this passage of scripture here in Luke chapter 17. Apply this to our lives. It says, so now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered into a certain village and there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now I want you to understand, in order to live a life of thanksgiving, we must never forget where we came from. Right. You know, these men were lepers. Now, we don't deal with it in quite such a way that they dealt with it in the Old Testament because of modern medicine and all the things that we've been blessed with in this day and age. But back then, leprosy was a death sentence. Leprosy was a skin disease that went far greater than that. And what's crazy about leprosy is the reason it's referred to so much is because it's what sin does in our life. It starts out small, just like a little spot or blemish, but then it seems to take over our entire body. You know, one person talked about how I read up on leprosy, and it said leprosy went far deeper than just a skin disease, but it actually affected the nerves to where you would lose all feeling in parts of your body. You know, that seems like what sin does in our lives a lot of times, right? It dulls your senses, and it just takes over your body. It takes over every part of your life, and it starts to break you down one piece at a time. You know, and leprosy here, I want you to understand, in that culture, what they would do is lepers were outcast. Now, many of them probably had families. And it says there was 10 of them here, 10 men. Now, if you're a man here, and you're supposed to be the provider of your home, but you contracted the disease of leprosy, now you were outcast. They actually was like in quarantine as COVID, right? You couldn't go to work. You couldn't even go home and be around your family because leprosy was contagious. That's what they did. They would lose everything, one piece at a time. First, they were cast away from their jobs. They would lose their position or lose their title. They become outcasts from society. Nobody wanted anything to do with a leper. Matter of fact, it was so bad that legally, if they were to go anywhere, they were cast outside of the city, but if they were going anywhere to beg for food because they couldn't buy from the marketplace. Are you starting to get the picture here? But what they would do is they had to legally pronounce that they were unclean if anybody came in contact with them. They would be at a distance. That's why it says here when they were far off from Jesus because they couldn't even come into his presence. They would have to shout, unclean. Now, can you imagine? Imagine us. You know, here we're plagued. Before you met Jesus, you were plagued with sin. You were afar off. The Bible says that you were afar off, a stranger from the promises of God when you didn't know him. You know, we must not forget that we were just like these lepers, plagued with sin. But can you imagine? Can you imagine going back and having to shout the sin or the disease that plagued you everywhere you went? Imagine walking into the public place, adultery, addiction, anxiety. Can you imagine the stress, just how you would feel? And listen, this is what sin does to us. It robs us of our identity. When you don't know Jesus, this is where you're at. It robs you of your identity and the life and the purpose that God had for you. As Lane said, you were made for much more. Now these lepers, they come and they cry out, Jesus, have mercy. Praise God that we have a God who had mercy. You know what's crazy is they said they didn't have to clean themselves up. They didn't have to go and find him. Jesus went out of his way. Normally the Jew wouldn't go over into Samaria because they hated each other. But Jesus went to where they were. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, man, I'm in this time of Thanksgiving, but I don't have a lot to be thankful for because my life's a wreck. Well, join the crowd. We are all messed up. We all have problems without Jesus. But Jesus goes to them. And I want you to understand that, praise God, that we have a God who has mercy on us. You know, the Bible says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Why do we come here and we don't just shout with praise? You know, I think it's crazy. It's not my personality whatsoever to get up and talk. But this is my praise. It's not my personality whatsoever to shout or to raise my hand. I want to sit and be quiet with my hands in my pocket. But I can't. Because I want to give him thanks and I want to give him praise because I have something to shout about because I have a God who had mercy on me and changed my life just like these lepers. You know, we always want to focus on the negative, but we need to, you know, Jesus talked about the church in the last days and one of them, he says, you forgot your first love. You forgot where you came from. You know, I have a confession to make. About 2 weeks ago, as we're preparing for Thanksgiving coming up, I've had a lot going on. A lot of stuff going wrong. Business, work, stress, trucks breaking down, all kinds of stuff. And that's what I began to focus on. And I began to become very negative. It was affecting my marriage, my friendship, my mind. I'm just having anxiety, depression, stuff I've never dealt with. And I literally had came to a place in my life where I said, look, I do not enjoy life anymore. I don't. That's where I was. Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus and his goodness in our lives, that's where sin drags us to. You know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he can just kill your joy when you focus on the negative. But I had came to that place, and I'd come home from work one day, and it was actually Wednesday night. We were getting ready to come to church, and I didn't want to come. I was in a bad mood, and I began to talk to my wife, and I began to tell her all of the problems and all the things that went on and how I wasn't enjoying this. And I said, if I've got to continue to do this for 20 years, then I'm just going to quit. I've got all this. And she stopped me mid-sentence, and she said, okay, I understand all that's going on, but tell me what you're thankful for. That was the last thing I wanted to hear at the time. And I just blurted out, nothing. Nothing. And that wasn't the truth, but that's where I had come to in my mind. That I wasn't thankful for anything. And maybe that's why Thanksgiving isn't quite the same, because we have so much in our culture plaguing us. We have so much division in our churches that we find it hard to be thankful for one another sometimes. But Jesus brought me back to this passage of Scripture, and he says, son, don't forget where I brought you from. You know, I think about it and I thought, man, I've took so many things for granted. These lepers, they had lost their families. Jesus said, do you have a family? Haven't I blessed you with a wonderful family? Haven't I blessed you with health? They lost their health. You know, a lot of times we don't even think about our health until it's too late. But if you're here and you were able to get here, God's blessed you with good health. The air we breathe, I mean, think about it, just even the clothes. I mean, they had to tear their clothes to lepers. They had no good clothes. They had to be, I'm thinking, man, you know, I've complained because I've only got 4 or 5 pairs of jeans and half of them's got stains on them. But I'm like, praise God. When's the last time I even praised God for just providing for me that I can buy clothes, that I've got a roof over my head? Thank God that I can come and worship in this wonderful country where we're still free to do that. You know, sometimes we take all that for granted until it's too late. You know, I think about COVID. Imagine these men. They couldn't go to the synagogue anymore. They couldn't worship. Can you imagine how they would have longed to go back and worship with Christ followers, with people? You know, I think about it like in COVID, a lot of us, we'd come to a place where we didn't, you know, it's just church. It's what we've done for all these years. But when we lost it, how you long to get it back. We should want to long for that. Because why? Because we're thankful for what God has done in our lives and we want to give him praise. Amen? Amen. But if you want to live a life of thanksgiving, you must not forget where he brought you from. And it says, it goes on, and Jesus meets them. And they cried out, Master, in verse 13, lift up their voice, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, praise God, Jesus sees you. Amen. But when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as it was, and so it was as they went that they were cleansed. Now, don't you think about that? Now, I want to think about that for a second. You know, imagine being in their situation. You'd heard about the miracles, right? You heard about all the things. This is Jesus' 3rd year in ministry. He'd been doing this for 3 years. His name was well known. They had known about all of the miracles that he'd done. And maybe they were coming there expecting a miracle. And they're a leper. They're outcast from society. And they call out, Jesus, Master. It's amazing if they said Master. Even in the midst of all their trials, right? Even in the midst of all their problems, they had faith. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And probably expecting some great miracle, Jesus said, I give you my word. Go, show yourself to the priest. Now they had to go show themselves to the priest because the priest was the one that would allow them to come back into society, inspect them to see if they were clean from this disease. Didn't happen very often. But that's what they were told to do. Now, I want to point that out because I think many of us are here and we're expecting God to heal, to fix our marriage, to do these things. And you're sitting here when God just says, you have my word. If you would just simply obey. Because they obeyed and says while they were on their way. Now, they were cleansed. It didn't say it happened immediately. He says, now go. Sometimes we have to take the first step just to be obedient to God's word. And then he knew, if you'll just obey my word, by the time you get to where you're going, you're going to be restored. See, a lot of times when people come to counseling, we don't have any inspiring miracle words to say. It's just simply, obey God's word and watch it work into your life. If you both will align yourselves with Scripture, watch it start to heal your marriage. If you will start to take care of yourself the way the Scripture says, just watch how your health improves. All of these things. So we need to learn to be thankful for God's word because it has the power to transform your life. It was God's word that transformed their lives. Now it says they go on, they are headed to the priest. In verse 14 or 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that these 10 lepers, now it says 10 lepers were healed. They were cleansed. But only one returned to give thanks. Now do you think that these other 9 were thankful? Come on. Sure they were. I mean, I think a lot of us are like this, that we're thankful for the things God has done in our lives. But we fail, like the 9, to give God thanks. See, there's a difference between being thankful and giving thanks. Now, actually, the definition of the word thankful, it's a feeling. It's to be pleased or relieved. You know, I think a lot of times it's that way we pray. We're asking God for something, and he answers that prayer. And we're thankful for that prayer being answered. It's a feeling of relief. You feel pleased. God answered your prayer. Do you think these people were relieved and pleased that God healed them from such a horrible disease? Sure. They may. We don't know where they went. You know, maybe they ran to the priest and they got busy. I mean, after all, they had lost their entire family, their job, maybe their houses. They had a lot that they had to go work towards to gain back, right? A lot of, maybe they returned back to their old life. You know, they're thankful, but they got busy going back to their old lives, doing their old things. Maybe they even told a few people on the way, if they asked them, hey, how'd you get healed? Ah, some dude named Jesus. He healed me. It's great. Ooh. What are you doing about it? Well, I had to go back to work. You see how that, a lot of times that's the way we do in our gratitude towards God and his blessings in our lives. Well, we're thankful. You know, I think that's why the Thanksgiving season seems to go by so fast, and we've done that with our praise and our thanks to God. It's like, God, you've answered our prayer. You know, how many times have you had prayer meetings and people come and they're begging God for something, but then when he answers them, you don't see praise meetings. Right? It's just on to the next. It's on to the next blessing. What can we get? And we continue to ask, instead of to praise with a loud voice. The word thankful is a feeling, but the definition of the word thanksgiving actually is the expression of gratitude, especially towards God. It's an action. It's something that we express. So I want to ask you that question. Are you thankful for the things that God's done in your life, or are you giving him thanks? And if so, in what way are you giving him thanks? You know, in this guy's way, the other ones, they were thankful. They went on about their business. They continued with their jobs, their families, everything that life had to offer. They may have even prayed or told a few people what happened. But this one man says that he immediately responded with gratitude. How did he do that? He ran back to Jesus and fell at his feet. It says he worshiped him. His thankfulness, his thanksgiving was expression of worship. He praised him. He worshiped him. Do you worship Jesus? I mean, do you really thank him for the life you've given him, that he's given you? Then how do you spend your days? Are you praising him? Do people see that? Are you worshiping him? Are you giving your time? Or are you going back on about your own business just like the other 9? Everybody's awful quiet. Listen, I preach to myself when I preach these messages. And this is how God's dealing with me, because I've been like the 9. And I failed to give him thanks for the blessings that he's given me in my life. You know, this is an expression of my thanksgiving to the Lord, is to get up and preach his word. It's all I know how to do. And maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe you can sing. Maybe you can't sing, but you can teach, or you can talk, or you can serve and give your time. You can cook. You can help watch kids. You can help with the youth. You can do whatever it is that God has blessed you with the ability to do. But if you're failing to give God the expression of thanksgiving by acting upon it, then you've become just like the nine and not the one. You know, I think about this. It says, one leper returned to worship. And in that worship, he lifted up his voice. It says, with a loud voice, he brought glory to God. Now, that word is the same word that we read earlier while they were in their problems. They lifted up with a loud voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. And that word in the original language actually is the same word where we get that word megaphone from. Can you imagine? It was loud, right? Now I want to ask you this question. Nine of them had no problem shouting with a loud voice their problems. Help us, Jesus. We got problems. But only one returned to shout with that same loud voice to praise him with. What are people hearing more out of your life? Problems or praise? Now that'll cut you deep right there. Because a lot of times that's all church is filled with. People with a bunch of problems and they have no problem expressing it. What they don't like, their dislikes, their problems, what type of music, who offended them, whatever. And we failed to praise Jesus for what he's done in life. Imagine what churches around this United States would look like if people just came in and praised Jesus for what he's done. If we would shout with such a loud voice, as loud as we do our problems. Because we all got problems, we're all jacked up. But we need to stop focusing on the problems, have a different perspective, and start focusing on praising Jesus for what he's done. Now, here's what's crazy about this whole thing. You know what's crazy is this is a key, I believe, to living a life of thanksgiving, is that this leper was thankful even though. We need to be thankful even though. What do you mean by that? Well, I want you to think about it. His life, Jesus healed him from the disease. He delivered him, right? But his life wasn't just back to normal. He didn't have everything under control. He didn't have all the blessings back. His life was still jacked up. You know, when we come to Jesus, praise God, he heals us. He cleanses us. He casts our sin as far as east is from the west. But we still have to live and the junk and in the problems that we've created for ourselves, because sin has consequences. Now here's the thing. Maybe the other nine, maybe the reason they didn't come back is because they're like, well, we still got all these issues. We still got no money. Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful for that he healed me, but I still got to get a job. I still got to do these things. I've got all this stuff going on that's wrong in my life. And maybe they just got focused on the negative and the things that were going on in their lives and failed to be like the one who went back and said, you know, even though my life still got all sorts of problems, I'm going to praise the one who delivered me. I'm going to praise him for what I have in my life and not focus on what I don't have. You know, a lot of times this is where social media comes in our lives. And we can become negative and focused on the things that we don't have instead of praising him for the things that we do. You know, if you know me and been around me very long, I know you can't see all the muscles under this shirt, but I work out a little bit. It's a joke. You know. I work out a little bit and I try to take care of myself and I go to the gym and sometimes, you know, you start to see the progress and you become thankful for the progress and the things that you have, and then you see somebody else like Dwayne Walker. And you see that guy and you start to compare yourself. And you know, well, maybe what I got ain't so good. Because it ain't like his. I mean, how many of us have done that? You know, you prayed for God to bless you. You need a car to go to work and God blesses you with this vehicle. You know, and maybe it's a hoopty, but you're proud of it. And you get there and you drive up and you got somebody over here that's got a nicer truck than yours, jacked up, wheels, tires, and all that. And you suddenly become ungrateful for what God has given you in your life. Why? Because you compare. And social media will do that to your own personal lives. Why? Because we start to compare what we have to what others have. And it's not reality. You know, we post pictures all the time. Lana posts pictures, you know, or families post pictures of themselves all smiling and all that. And oh, look at their wonderful kids. And they're all trying to kill each other 5 seconds before that. You don't see reality. Well, that's why we got to be careful, right? And maybe that's what happened to these guys. Maybe they got to comparing themselves. You know, yeah, we're thankful that God healed us, right? But so-and-so, man, he's still got a nicer house than me. He's got better clothes. You know, and they become focused on that instead of praising Jesus for what he's already done. We need to be thankful even though. Verse 17 says this. So Jesus, after this guy comes back and he worships him, he praises him, he thanks him, he surrenders his life. You know, that is a wonderful thing when you see scripture, when somebody comes and truly worships Jesus, it says that they fall down at his feet, on their faces. Churches, people, Christians, we need to be falling down at our face, on our faces, praising Jesus. You know, a lot of times I'm guilty of just maybe even over this Thanksgiving, you know, none of us fell on our face praising Jesus for what he did. Maybe you did, and you're better than I am. But we just offered up a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this. Let's hurry up and eat. Boom, everybody's gone by 1:30. You know, we need to get back to this praising Jesus. It needs to be a lifestyle. We need to be praising him, thanking him, because he is worthy. But as that happened with the one, Jesus said this, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 who were cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? You know, have you ever given your kids anything? Anybody in here ever bought their kids anything for Christmas, birthday, or whatever, right? And then you see them go out and they say, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, and you were excited to give them that gift, right? Maybe even something special that you bought or you worked hard for to provide to them to show them how much you love them. And your kid gets that gift, thanks, and he runs out, and next thing you know, they leave it out in the rain, and it gets destroyed, right? Or they, you know, they start fighting over it, and all of these things happen, right? And you're like, you start to get ticked off. You ever been like that? Anybody in here? Am I the only one? Ticked off at their kids all the time. And you're like, what are you doing? You know, I bought Rami a horse. I'll call her out. She wanted horses her entire life. I go all the way, 2 hours away to get this horse, you know. She rides it for like 45 minutes, never touches it again. That's what it seemed like to me anyway. And it's out in the pasture. And I'm like, what are you doing? What, you failed? Well, Dad, yeah, I'm thankful for that. No, you're not. You didn't take care of it. Right? No, you're not. You're not using it. All of these things, you know what I'm trying to say here. They're not grateful for it. Why? Because they failed to show you thanks by showing their appreciation, taking care of it, being good stewards of it. And that's the same thing that was happening here. And Jesus is like, really? I mean, I saved your soul. I mean, I restored your marriage. You know, I healed that disease that you had. You know, I done all these things for you. I answered them prayers. When you called for me, I was there. I never left you. I never forsake you. Even when you ran off, even when you jacked up your entire life, I was there. As soon as you called upon me, I was there. I was there to restore you. I was there to help you. I was there, always providing for you. I heard you. I saw you. And you're telling me that 9 out of 10 people don't even give him thanks for that? He's like, are you serious? I mean, where are the other 10? 9 out of 10 people failed to give him thanks. Only one returned. Look at your neighbor again and say, don't be like the 9. Be the one. Would you praise Jesus today? Would you lift his name up? Would you worship him? And I don't just mean a feeling of thankfulness. It's an expression. It's how you live your life. You know, you say you're thankful for what he's done. Has it changed your life? Are you living a life devoted to him, running back to him, praising him, worshiping him, thankful for his word? You know, here's the thing. Jesus knew. He wasn't just condemning them because they failed to give him thanks, but Jesus knew he had so much more for their lives. I want you to look at this. Hone in here. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned giving God glory except this foreigner? And so he said to the one, arise, go your way, for your faith has made you well. Now, they were already healed. 9 got healed. 1 got well.
That's right.
You know, for the believer, I think about it, it's like this. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were in bondage and slave for 400 years to the Egyptians. God sent a man, Moses, who represented Jesus, who would deliver them from bondage or sin. That's what that represented. He delivered them. He brought them out. He saved them, just like he did me and you. Right? Just like he did the 10 here. They were brought out from underneath the disease, the bondage, the sin, the slavery, all of the things that held them captive. He rescued them. But listen, he said, I have more for you. I have a land flowing with milk and honey. That abundant life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. But they all failed. Wandered around the wilderness. What did they do? They complained. Griping, complaining, focusing on what they didn't have. They failed to give God the honor and glory and praise that he was deserved. Just like the 9. Maybe you're here and you've experienced, I know everybody in some way, whether it's through creation, whether it's through just family or marriage or whatever, you've experienced the goodness of God in your life. He's delivered you in some way, whether you see it or not. You've met him at some point in your life and he's blessed you, drawn you. But he has so much more if you just run to him. Surrender your life. Praise him for what he's done and watch him work in your life. You know, if you want to live a life well, you need to run to Jesus and give him praise for what he's already done in your life. You know, I was probably, it's been 8 or 10 years ago now, I was come down here and I'd worked for my working with my dad. And if you don't know my dad, he's a workaholic and he's a good hard worker. And you know, I look up to him for that. But I don't like working that hard. And I had young kids, and, you know, my dad, he was, you know, we were all out of the house, so he didn't think about all that kind of stuff. And so it was no problem to work from sun up to sun down, you know. And a lot of times we have to drive an hour or two to get to the job, and we had to be there at daylight, and then we couldn't roll up the job until dark. And then I'd drive an hour or two home, and I was working 14, 16 hours a day, and I got little kids, you know, by the time I drove and everything. And I became miserable. I became complaining. And I wasn't thanking God for what he had done for me, that he provided a job, and that I was able to take care of my family, and my wife was able to quit her job and stay home and homeschool the kids and all of the things that he was providing. But I was just thinking about the negative, right, and how I was having to work too much and all of these things. And I began to complain and gripe all the time. And I was praying, God, give me a new job. Give me this, give me that. And nothing was happening. And Lane even challenged me one day. And she was like, you know, maybe we just need to start thanking God for what he's already given us. I mean, look, you've got a job. You know, he's providing for you. We've had all these things happen. So why don't you just change your perspective and start focusing on the good instead of the bad. Start focusing on what you have instead of what you don't have. And just watch God, see if something happens in our lives. And, you know, I started going to work, and every day I was waking up. And I want to challenge you with that. Waking up and just praising God for the little things in your life. Thanking him that he gave you another day. Praising him that he gave you a wonderful, you know, family if you have one. Or there's always something to praise him for. That he gave you a job. That he gave you health. Something that you can praise him for. And start that day off praising him. And that's what I did. And, you know, it was just a few months later that we got the call to go to Mertens and pastor a church where I got to see 27 people saved in a year and a half. You know, it wasn't the direction I wanted to go, but God blessed me when I started being faithful with a little, right? He gave me so much more in abundance. And I began it changed my life, changed my perspective, started to change the way I looked at things. And, you know, I came back 2 years later, and my dad, you know, called me, and he's like, "Hey, son, you know, we're in the gutter business," but I was able to buy him out of the gutter business and start my own business at that point. And, you know, it was just that God answered them prayers, but I had to change the way I praised him. I had to change my perspective and stop focusing on the negative, start thanking him for what he's given me. So would you stand this morning with me? And I'm going to end it with this. Psalms 95 verse 2 says this: "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Would you praise him this morning? God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for all that you do, Lord. I thank you for giving us this wonderful country that we live in, God. Even though we've had people come in and try to destroy our freedom, we still live in a wonderful country who was founded upon your principles, Lord. We're able to come here and worship you openly. I thank God that I was born here. I thank God for this church. Lord, even though we know that sometimes our own flesh tries to destroy things that you have built up, Lord, that we want to focus on the negative and we want to be divided over issues, Lord, I thank you for every person in here who's ever come into my life, Lord, all the blessings that each person, the way that they have blessed me and my family, and I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that we show our appreciation for each other. I pray that we show our appreciation by the way we live our lives to you, Lord, that we surrender our lives to you, we focus on the things that you've blessed us with because you have blessed us with so much. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.